just a moment to reminisce while I get technically appropriate here. I remember going to Bible school when I was in Viking, Minnesota, a town of 108. And I can remember all the different songs that we learned and all of the different stories we learned. And those songs are still going through my mind when Bible school is coming around. And I just hope everyone can just pop in sometime during this next week and see all the energy and time that people are putting into this wonderful ministry that our church has been doing for several years. May God's grace and peace be on you in the presence of God our Father. Amen. Good morning. My name is Gwen Johnson, and I see a lot of visitors here today. So I typed an introduction just in case there were a lot of visitors. So for those of you who heard this introduction before, sorry. For those of you who may not know me, I have been a member of CLC since 1994. I am a wife and mother. I work in long-term care. This is most likely one of the most difficult things I've been asked to do. It's definitely outside my comfort zone. I can speak endlessly on sports, long-term health care, insurance, and explaining benefits to families who are in crisis. But speaking in church, the sermon on our faith and my interpretation of today's scripture, well, that's a bit difficult, uncomfortable. Hopefully you will leave with a question or something to ponder. So, this is going to be a little bit of participation. How many of you have asked for someone to teach you something? All right. I was going to pass out papers and have you guys write it down, but I thought that's just too time consuming and we want this short and sweet. So a few quick examples I came up with for myself was I've asked my kids to teach me how to text, set up my Facebook account with explanation. I've asked someone to teach me how to do a specific art and craft, because that part of my brain doesn't work. I had an amazing music teacher who taught me how to play the flute and a variety of other woodwind instruments. But I can honestly say I have never asked anyone to teach me how to pray. So after reading the gospel for today, and the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Well, I went back to my trusty small catechism, and I know I've shown this to you all before. And many of you may recall the old days of confirmation. My heart started beating a little faster when I touched this little book. I became a little anxious as I reviewed the passages, recalling having to memorize not only the prayer, but what each line meant. I had to share it, and I am not good at memorizing words. Then needing to write it down correctly in order to pass my third and final year of confirmation. I must say, I was a bit relieved when today we were only focusing on five lines. So I took a breath. And here's what Martin Luther states from the Small Catechism. Our Father in heaven, what is this? With these words, God wants to attract us so that we believe he truly is our Father and we are truly his children, in order that we may ask him boldly and with complete confidence, just as a loving children asks of their father. Hallowed be your name, and thy kingdom come. What is this? The answer, it is true that God's name is holy in itself, but we ask in this prayer that it may also become holy in and among us. In fact, God's kingdom comes down. It comes on its own without a prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come to us. Give us this day our daily bread. What is this? In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, and deliver us from temptation. I changed the wording just a teeny bit. What is this? We ask in this prayer that our Heavenly Father would not regard our sins or deny those petitions for our account, for we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. Instead, we ask that God would give us all things by grace, for we sin daily and indeed earn only punishment. So, on the other hand, we too truly want to give, to forgive heartily and to do good gladly, to do those sins against us. And the temptation. It is true that God tempts no one, but we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great and shameful sins, and that although we may be attracted by them, we may finally prevail and gain victory. I have to say, in some ways, my younger self had a lot of difficulty processing this. It's a lot to remember when praying to God. I knew it was important, but being 15 or 16, and it was still a little bit over my head. While many of us grew up attending church may find it easy to frame our own sentences in our mind and send them to God, send them Godward, not all church attendees find this easy. And some people, me included, find the whole idea of praying downright intimidating. One thing that struck me with this passage today was that the disciples waited until after he finished praying. So they were observing him, watching him. I wonder what they saw. What look did Jesus have on his face? Then Jesus say, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." Not everyone is good at prayer. This provides some basic framework and vocabulary where we can have a sense of addressing God. The gospel for today includes Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, along with a parable and commentary from Jesus about the persistence in prayer. Luke's version of the prayer is shorter than the more familiar one from Matthew 6, containing only 5 petitions instead of the 7 in Matthew. But the included 5 are all key petitions. The first 2, "Hallowed be your name and your kingdom come," are spiritual linkages, and the other 3, "for daily bread," "for forgiveness of sins," and "for being spared temptation," ask for help with daily life. So whether we pray to Matthew or Luke's version, we are covering important ground. Another difference between the 2 renderings is that in Matthew, Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer as a model in the course of a larger discourse about praying in general, whereas in Luke, he gives a direct response to a request from one of his disciples who said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I realize that there is also a parable in the reading today. However, I feel called to speak about praying. As I am probably the last person who should be speaking about praying, I find it very difficult to pray. I have bought books on the topic. I recall an adult Bible study on praying. I struggle when I'm asked to lead in prayer because I'm not good with words. Then I found this story. A man was sleeping one night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and God appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do, and he showed him a large rock in front of the cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all of his might. So the man did this day after day. For many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all of his might. Each night, the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that the whole day had been spent in vain. But slowly doubts came. He thinks to himself, "You have been pushing against this rock for a long time, and it hasn't moved." And he begins to believe that the task is impossible, and that he is a failure. These thoughts discourage and dishearten him. Then he thinks, "Hey, why kill yourself over this? I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough. So that's what the weary man's plan was to do. But first he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord, he prayed, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do what you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged the rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded, wait a minute. When I asked you to serve me, you accepted. I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all of your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. Really? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is brown and strong. Your hands are callous from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yes, you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient and to push and to have faith, to trust in my wisdom. That you have done. Now I, my friend, will move the rock. When everything seems to go wrong, just push. When the job gets you down, just push. When people don't react the way you think they should, just push. When your money is gone and the bills are due, just push. When people just don't understand you, just push. And push stands for pray until something happens. So those five petitions. I found another author, William Stillman, who wrote a blog in the Huffington Post back in March of 2014. After reading, pondering, and praying, here are some thoughts, along with a couple of my own that I've added to his commentary. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father, it's not mine alone, but ours, which makes me less self-centered and more conscious of those around me. Hallowed be your name. Stillman states, meaning sacred, revered, and respect this powerful presence to who this prayer is an ode of homage. Your kingdom come. Stillman feels that this line might suggest that the kingdom come was pending. In other words, until or in lieu of the full realization of God's kingdom, we must strive to emulate on earth how business is conducted in heaven. Meaning, spread all that is right and true and good and kind. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us this day. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Give thanks what we have been given in for this moment. Our daily bread doesn't only pertain to physical nourishment. In Stillman's interpretation, it pertains to spiritual nourishment. In other words, please grant me all that I need on this day in order to fulfill the preceding commitment about doing what it's like done in heaven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is a tough one. Its interpretation is as unique and individual as each individual is unique. Why? Because as humans, we are imperfect. Many of us would prefer not to illuminate the truth about our trespasses against each other. If we did, or did so more often, we would need to strive harder to do it on earth as it is in heaven. Doing so requires that we confront the three most powerful words that we can say ourselves. I was wrong. And lead us not into temptation. In this humble opinion of Stillman, this verse is about our individual consciousness and our collective consciousnesses. We can sooner see our faulty egos leading us into temptation, as so frequently occurs, as opposed to God deliberately leading us astray. In order not to be led to temptation, we need to be aware of the commitment we've made in the prayer thus far. So, when asked to pray, What do you do? Say. Ask. The bottom line I came up with for me is what I have learned about the gospel today. Actually, two things. I love acronyms. They help me remember. For those like me who are needing direction in prayer, first, push. Pray until something happens. And second, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Prayer doesn't have to be difficult. You don't have to know what to say. Say the Lord's Prayer. Speak from the heart, and He will hear. Amen. Our song for the day is Jesus Shall Reign on page 434. Please stand.